Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have a basketball recruiting bonanza update for you guys. We're going to go through everything going into the 2024-25 roster being rounded out. Then we're going to talk about some future recruiting for hoops. The 2025 class has a lot of updates on some of the Rutgers' top targets, so we'll get into that. But first, this podcast is presented to you by Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, fans, and alumni, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered. From t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware to pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep chopping. All right, Rutgers is still trying to round out this 24-25 basketball roster. 2 slots available. The first looks like they want to go to a shooter. The second, they look like they want to go to a big man. Let's first talk the shooter. Looks like our top and only target right now is San Diego wing PJ Hayes, who took an official visit to Rutgers and then subsequently took an official visit to VCU afterwards. Sounds like he might be deciding soon. What are you hearing on PJ Hayes?
Yeah, so there was some talk yesterday of Dayton showing some interest there, and there was a rumor that they hosted him, but I haven't been able to confirm that yet. Been talking to our guy at the Dayton Rivals site, but he hasn't been able to confirm it either, ironically. So I'm assuming that didn't happen, but regardless, it's going to be Rutgers or VCU, it sounds like. Maybe Dayton, but it sounds like Rutgers is in the driver's seat here. I'm pretty confident they're going to land him, it seems like. After talking to people following the Rutgers visit, they were very confident. After talking to people following the VCU visit, they were still very confident. It sounds like this is almost a done deal for Rutgers. I know there's been some talk that Iowa is showing interest as well, but he's a little bit on the back burner as they wait for Sanford. I don't know how to pronounce that one, but
Peyton Sanford. Yeah,
he's currently in the NBA draft, and he just went to the combine. Probably not draftable based on his combine not being too hot. And him not being on any mock drafts, but it sounds like they were looking at him a little bit. Seton Hall was interested in him a little bit. I know playing time was a factor as well as NIL and a bunch of other things, as it is with every transfer. But it sounds like Rutgers is in a very good spot, and it sounds like a decision will be made this week. We're just kind of waiting to hear on who it's going to be and when it's going to happen.
Yeah, obviously, time is kind of getting short less than a month until the full team is on campus. Yep. Another thing with the Peyton Sanford decision in terms of possibly taking a visit to Iowa, the opt-out date for the NBA draft to withdraw your name, the NCAA has that date set at May 29th. So a little bit more than a week from today. You don't know if he wants to wait that long to make a decision. Mm-hmm. There's also a dead period that starts tomorrow. So there's a dead period in recruiting from May 22nd to June 2nd. So that also throws a monkey wrench into things. If you can't visit a school until June 3rd, and you know most teams want to have their rosters rounded out in the next few weeks. I don't know. That seems like a tight time crunch for Iowa there. So you expect a decision within the next few days. Things still sound pretty good for Rutgers. So not much has changed there. It's kind of just, you know, we're just waiting for the call or the text to say, you know, hey, get your article ready. It's happening.
Yeah, pretty much.
So just kind of talking about his game, what would PJ Hayes bring to Rutgers hoops team?
He's a wing, not a true guard. He played a 3/played the 4 sometimes at San Diego. I don't think you'll see much of him at the 4 at Rutgers if he comes to Rutgers, but mostly a 3 guy, 3 and D, not 3 and D, just 3, because he's a 3-point shooter. Shot nearly 40%. I think it was 39.8, 39.7, something like that last year, on a large amount of attempts. I think he averaged, I got to look it back up.
I think he averaged like six threes a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, he averaged a lot of threes per game. Now he's coming from via the D2 level to San Diego, where his production actually jumped, which is interesting because you don't really see that too often. But very good shooter, very good scorer. He can score at the rim as well. Not afraid of contact. Free throws, 79%. He just does the little things. Now, he's not a great defender. He's probably below average defender. But again, this is a guy that's just going to get wide open look after wide open look. With Ace Bailey cutting to the rim, everyone collapses on him. Dylan Harper can play towards the rim. Everyone collapses on him. Jordan Durkak, again, another guy that's going to attack the rim. All these guys are just going to set up wide open looks for guys like Zach Martini, who's a really good 3-point shooter, and PJ Hayes, who's a really good 3-point shooter. You need these shooters on this team because you had none last year, basically. And it's just nice to have a shooter for a change. This is essentially kind of what they wanted Gavin Griffiths to be last year. Just be a pop shooter, maybe even a pick and pop shooter. I think this is just, it would be a really good get. And it's just a really good fit for the team because it's another piece that can score. This is not going to be your typical Pikel defense, speed limit, blah, blah, blah. They're probably going to give up a lot of points, but they're going to score a shit ton of points too. So it's going to be fun to watch as long as they do get them.
Yep. Let's talk about some of these big men targets. So Rutgers obviously probably could use a big man. We've been talking about transfer portal targets. Maybe we've been looking in the wrong place because the two guys that seem to be being honed in on right now are both from the class of 2024. Let's start with the kid who visited recently. This past weekend, Rutgers actually had a big man on campus for an official visit, Jamie Vinson. He played at Oak Hill Academy. He's originally from Texas. He also was previously committed to Vanderbilt. Vinson took a visit to Rutgers and then took a visit to the University of Kentucky, which I believe he's just wrapping up a visit for.
Today, Tuesday? Yeah, he's still there.
Okay, so he's still currently at Kentucky. Give us the rundown on Jamie Vinson, both how Rutgers got into this recruitment, where Rutgers stands, and what he brings to the table as a player.
Yeah, Rutgers just kind of reached out, and it's simple as that. They got involved very quickly. Oak Hill is a very well-known program. So many notable players have came out of there. Rutgers has a pretty solid relationship with the head coach down there. He visited Rice last week, early last week, then South Carolina, then Rutgers, then Kentucky, which he's currently on. He was committed to Vanderbilt for quite some time. I believe he actually signed with Vanderbilt, but then Jerry Stackhouse got fired. So then he opened his recruitment back up and bada boom, bada bing. And he's available. He's a wide open recruitment. He's interesting. He's a high ceiling type of big man, more of a shot blocking big man type, defensive, doesn't really do anything crazy on the offensive end. He can handle the ball a little bit, but 7'5" wingspan, Most of his presence is as a shot blocker, it seems like. But he took a big step forward this past offseason running on the summer circuit, the Adidas summer circuit, which is like the 3 SSB, I believe. I think that's the right one. But yeah, no, I mean, I think he's an intriguing prospect. I don't know if we're going to have to be talking about him much more than that, because it doesn't sound like he's going to end up at Rutgers, it seems like. I'm not sure how involved Kentucky is, because they got into the game later than everyone else, but they're also the one to get the last visit. Late riser, that's really all it is. I would assume it's probably South Carolina or Kentucky at the moment, with Rutgers trailing a little bit. But it does sound like the family had a really good visit this weekend. So never say never. And then this kind of goes into our next player. But the fact that they offered a new big man today kind of tells you where they stand with Vincent.
Yeah. So Vincent, it's interesting because Kentucky landed obviously two big names out of the portal in terms of big men. They got Andrew Carr, who Rutgers is going after, and they landed Amari Williams, who Rutgers is going after. And now they might land the high schooler. So this is a kid who you'd heard some interesting things about, basically him wanting to basically pick a school for academics and to stay for 4 years. I'm sure a lot of kids say that, but it's, you know,
it's
definitely different. But yeah, let's talk about this new offeree, which in my opinion is very intriguing. It is an international kid. His name's Victor Micic. He played his high school ball down in Chattanooga. He also played for the AAU team, which if Chattanooga and AAU sound familiar, it's because they should. It's where Ace Bailey and Jamichael Davis are from and both played for AAU. He's also had a pretty extensive career in terms of playing internationally. So he's from Serbia. He played on the Serbian under 17 national team. He had some good games there. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He also played for one of the top clubs in Serbia. It's the name Partizan. It's basically like they've won a lot of championships in the Serbian league and the European league in general. We'll talk about that as well a little bit. But it kind of, how did Rutgers get involved with this kid?
So he's played for AOT. And that's pretty much it. Chattanooga, AOT, all the connections there between Ace Bailey. Obviously, the staff is very familiar with AOT and all that. But this past weekend, AOT runs an independent circuit, so they're not on the EYBL, they're not on the SSB, they're not on the Under Armour, they're on the Puma. There's so many different circuits now. be cool if they all just played together, right? You know, that'd make it too easy,
nice.
Right? But anyway. Yeah, so AOT was running out in Indiana this weekend, which is smart by them, actually. So they're going to run – they run circuits, like independent games, on the same circuits as like other teams. So like EYBL was in Indiana this weekend. So they're going to run their independent, which is down the road at a different gym. Rutgers was at one of those events. They saw him, and simple as that, they offered him. Offered him today, Tuesday. It does sound like this could go relatively quickly, just for the sole fact that the dead period does start tomorrow. I think it's at noon tomorrow or midnight tonight. I forget. It said 12 o'clock. I didn't read if it was PM or AM, but regardless. They saw him, and that was simple as that. And they saw a bunch of different kids. Like, you saw Pykele was out there at the EYBL event checking out Jalen Harrell, Nigel James. You saw Marlon Williamson was out there. I'm assuming Marlon Williamson was at this event, the AOT one. But he's intriguing. He's got a good mid-range game, pretty athletic, and he's just like a superb passer. I know we were talking about it off pod because we were watching one of his highlights for, what was it, the NBA Academy games?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and there's just one highlight where I'm going to see if I can actually pull it up real quick.
Yeah, pull it up.
It was like super impressive. I actually thought it was originally a block shot. And it's just like, holy shit, like that wasn't a block shot at all. That was actually a crazy pass.
Yep.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah, it's basically a drive and kick, but it's a no look pass that he throws to a shooter on the wing and he hits a wide open three. But what you've heard from his coaches is that he's just an incredible passer for a big man.
Yeah, which is huge. It's really what you want for for that elite passer and a pretty good rebounder, which is kind of fits the mold of what you're looking for. And a guy can trail too. If you watch him in some of the fast breaks, he's trailing behind and he's hitting like those mid, like 18 to 20 footers, like with ease. So this all kind of adds up like to be a really good prospect, or a really good down the line prospect. I don't know how much he's going to play early on, but I think he has a high ceiling type of guy. Where was this at?
I have it open if you want me to.
Yeah, you just pull it up.
Yep.
You can't find it.
So he's number 20. I wanted to pause it here because that's who we're looking for. Yeah. I don't know why these are the recommended pictures.
Yeah, Mike, big crypto guy.
So he drives here, and then it looks like he throws it over the top of his head, but we might have to watch that again because it's so hard to actually see what happened the first time. Mm-hmm. So watch where this ball goes. It looks like it gets tipped out by the defender, but it's actually by Victor. Wide open shooter. Open pass. So this, you talked to his AU coach. What did he have to say about his game?
Let me pull up the text real quick. Unstoppable playmaking skills and scoring ability. He's a pass first big man. His court vision is absolutely crazy. The kid can also shoot the three ball as well. So don't forget about that. He's a great rebounder. The kid just plays basketball the right way. That sounds like a Pikel quote if I've ever heard that.
Yeah, it does. I also want to pull up something. So like I said, he was a part of the U17 World Cup team for Serbia in 2022. They ended up playing the United States in the quarterfinals and lost. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his showing, he had a really good tournament in general. But I want to show you first off, who's on this USA team, just to give you an idea of the level of talent. So we got Cooper Flagg, we got Kopeat, we got Asa Newell, we got Boogie Fland, we got Ronald Holland, Carter Knox, Sean Stewart, Ian Jackson, DJ Wagner, Jeremy Fears, Dennis Evans. How many of these kids are five stars?
One, two, three, four, at least seven, if not more. I don't know if Ian Jackson made it or not. He's got
Ian Jackson's
right?
A five star. He's a top 10 player.
David Castillo?
In the 24 class.
Maybe? I don't know. It's a close one.
Anyway, regardless, this roster is 80% five star players. Legit competition.
Yeah.
These are the stats that Victor Micic put up. 12 points, 8 rebounds, 15 minutes. That is incredibly efficient. The one worrying thing is you ask, why did he only play 15 minutes then? He fouled out. He got 5 fouls in 15 minutes. So you got to take the good with the bad there. He had just a really good showing against, and there's a full video online if you want to watch. We could probably put that in the show notes, but that's some legit competition, and he held his own. He more than held his own. I mean, other than the fouls, he had a really, really good showing.
I mean, look at his plus minus too, compared to everyone else's.
Yep.
Like he's on the court, it's a difference maker.
Yep. So, because sometimes you hear these random European names, you're like, okay, this is just some gangly kid who, you know, he's coming over, he's going to be developed. He's actually a pretty well-rounded player to begin with. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this off the pod. You know, we've seen this massive infusion of superstars at the NBA level or international guys, and they've always kind of had a one-off kind of get like one here, one there. Like when we were growing up, you had Peja Stojakovic, you know, the crazy shooter. Nope. You had Dirk Nowitzki. You had Vlade Divac, you know, but there wasn't like every team didn't have a standout European. It was like there was three or four high-level guys, but that was kind of it. Now it's like half the league is these European players. And I think a big reason is, you know, the U.S. athletes, the U.S. high schoolers, AU circuit kind of guys, they're not getting developed the same way these Europeans are. Europeans, the way that their development works is basically they'll practice 4 to 5 to 6 times a week and they'll play one game a week. Whereas when you look at what they do in the AAU circuit, you're playing 3, sometimes 4 games a day, even on the AAU circuit, and you're not practicing at all. So you're not working on skill development. You're working on kind of shot making in games. Whereas these guys are just drilling, getting better at fundamentals. And I, you know, arguably that development path is probably the better one. If you're just looking at results, but I just wanted to kind of highlight that.
I mean, might be a stretch, but you could argue that the top two players in NBA this year are Europeans, in Luka and Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if you go down the list of all the top players in the NBA, more than half are internationals. Like if you're just looking at like top 25, top 10.
So currently the Ringer has the top 100 players. It's Jokic, Serbian. There you go. Doncic, number 2, Giannis, number
Slovenian.
3.
And Greek.
And then number 4 is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you know where he went to high
Canadian.
School? You know where he went to high school, though? Hamilton Heights. The same high school as this kid.
That's wild. Yeah, so Victor Micic, while he is an international player, he did play his high school ball this past year in Chattanooga.
Yeah. But average 14-10. So, I mean,
additionally, Shea is not American. He's Canadian.
Yeah. So there you go.
Jamal Murray's Canadian.
Yep. The list goes on and on, but, yeah, this kid seems pretty good.
Yeah.
For a late addition, it seems solid.
Yeah. So I kind of want to hit on that too. Why is, he's picked up a handful of offers recently. Why is this, a kid who's only getting late interest? Why is he not somebody who was sought after?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's the fact that he wasn't on really many circuits, but he played for AOT. So like with Ace Bailey there, you would think a lot of people would notice him. I know he's not getting as much play being on AOT as much. I shouldn't even say play. He won't get the ball as much because number one, AAU basketball is ISO ball nonstop.
Yep.
Number two, AOT's got weapon after weapon after weapon after weapon. I feel like if he played for a better high school, no offense to Hamilton Heights, maybe a little bit of a bigger high school, but he did play against the Skills Factory and they did win back-to-back championships. So I don't know. It's very interesting. It's something that we have to look into a little bit because his skill set's there. He went to the Phenom Hoops things. He went to NBA Academy and looked good in these events. So it's a little intriguing that he doesn't even mid-majors, like the mid-majors are just jumping in too as well. So it's definitely something to monitor. I don't know why, but like, I know what all these offers, what came in like the past 12 hours, something like that. Like Elon, Hawaii, Valpo, who else? Marist. Like they're all coming in the past 10 hours. So it tells me that all these schools went to watch him and it's more of, hey, we saw him. We think he's pretty good. On top of that, it might be just the fact that the transfer portal is dominating everything. And that's just the way of the world now. So it's just like football. Like you'll find some under the radar kids late because everyone wants portal guys. They want someone that can come in and be an immediate impact. No one wants to develop guys now. Who the hell wants to do that when I can just go find one that's in D2 even that's developed? So
yeah.
Who knows?
Yep. No, great point. And that's kind of where the majority of NIL money is getting spent as well. Like you have the top guys getting paid in the high school ranks, but even these like 6th, 7th man types in the portal are making more than some 4 stars are coming out of high school.
I meant to bring that up too. He's on a visa, so I don't know. Can you even pay him technically? Maybe he can't get paid. So that might help a little bit.
Yeah, at least he won't have the range of options that others might have. There are ways to make money, but you can't make as much, which Zach Edey has talked about publicly. So,
yeah, it's interesting. So, sounds like this might be the guy.
And like we said, today is May 21st. The dead period starts tomorrow. So, if he is going to visit, it's got to be, right now. So we'll see if things actually happen quickly or if we wait it out a little bit more. But let's talk future recruiting now. Class of 2025 is, the new hotness.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yep.
It seemed like Rutgers was a little quiet in the class of 2025, I guess for good reason for a while. Mm-hmm. But it sounds also like Rutgers is right near the top of the list for a lot of really high-level guys.
Yes.
So let's just start off with the highest-level guy that Rutgers is recruiting right now, the highest-ranked, mm-hmm. Darius Acuff. He is the point guard who I believe is at IMG Academy, but he's originally from the Detroit area. Yes. He plays for the family AAU program, so mm-hmm. Smoke Williamson connection there. And you've recently heard some intel that while Rutgers seemed like they were trailing behind, they're right mm-hmm. near the top of his list again. Talk about Darius Acuff and where Rutgers stands there.
Yeah, I mean, it's full-blown fact. They were definitely falling behind a little bit. And that's fine because we kind of assumed it was going to happen when he got bumped up from, what did he go from, like unranked to like number 9 in the country?
It was New York,
crazy jump. I think he actually jumped to 15, but now he's at number 9. But he just keeps rising. Everyone just keeps talking about his game, and that's just the fact of playing at IMG versus not a small school, but not as big of a school in Michigan. He's also dominated the AAU scene, but this past weekend we had a couple writers from Rivals over at the Indiana EYBL event, and they just told me basically that Rutgers is kind of becoming a little bit of more of a talk among the Acuff group. Now that being said, we know he was kind of favoring Kentucky. He took a visit to Kentucky with Calipari there, took a visit to Kansas last month for an official, then all of a sudden took an official to Arkansas 2 weeks ago, a week ago, something like that. I think it was 10 days ago, 11 days ago, cause it was March or May 10th. So that's more of the Calipari connection. We know he's a big fan of Calipari. Calipari loved him at Kentucky, now loves him in Arkansas, of course. So those are the two schools to watch the most, but someone told us that Rutgers is, kind of lurking in the background and they've gained a lot of ground recently. What that means, I don't know, but I know Coach Smoke kind of works in silence a little bit and he's the mm-hmm. lead recruiter here. He's the lead recruiter for a ton of dudes right now, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's just, for anyone that questioned his hiring, it's out the door already. Like he's yep. the guy. So, yeah, they watched him this past weekend. We know Steve Peichel was out there watching him. We know Marlon Williamson was out there watching him at the EYBL event. All four head coach. Oh, I didn't mention Kentucky's new head coach, Mark Pope, is also after him. But Calipari, Bill Self, Peichel, and Pope all watched him this weekend at the AAU event. It seems like they're going to do an all-out push for him, it sounds like. So just keep an eye out on Acuff there. He hasn't taken an official visit yet. I know he had one scheduled previously. So that's good news, is that there's still time to get him on campus. If you can get him on campus sooner rather than later, well, you probably can't till June. What is it, June 22nd, something like that?
Yep.
Whenever dead period ends? Yeah. So keep an eye out on that. Wouldn't be surprised if he took a summer official. It sounds like he also is going to make a decision not during the early period. It sounds like he's going to wait a little bit, but they all say that, and then they make a decision early. So just keep an eye on him. I wouldn't be shocked if he's on campus sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and he'd be a huge addition if Rutgers is able to land him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that Rutgers is really hyping up landing both Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper this class. And
yep.
I imagine these top guys want to see how top recruits are being utilized by mm-hmm. Steve Peichel and the rest of the staff.
Yep.
Another one of his top, one of the top targets in 25, I'm sorry, is his AAU teammate, Trey McKinney, who they got to be pushing like you could be the next Ace and Dylan in 25.
Yep.
What are you hearing on Trey McKinney?
Yeah, Trey is likely going to stay out in the Midwest. I'm told he had offers, if you want to call them that, to leave Michigan for high school, similar to where Acuff is right now in IMG. But he decided to stay. He's staying at St. Mary's High School in Flint, Michigan, I think it is. But regardless, it sounds like he's kind of leaning more towards staying in the Midwest, with Indiana, Michigan, and Michigan State being the three that are the ones to keep an eye on. Now, Michigan's kind of rebuilding a relationship based on the new coaching staff and stuff like that. I don't think Dusty May was recruiting him much at FAU. And that makes sense. But they're definitely very interested in him at Michigan. Of course, you always want the top in-state kid if you can. But Michigan State, I know Izzo is pushing for him. I'm not sure how fond of Izzo he is. I've been told conflicting things from different sources. One guy says he loves Izzo. Another guy says he's meh on Izzo. Like also, how long is Izzo going to be there? He's also taking official visits to Georgetown, Rutgers, and TCU. So those three are also kind of involved. There's others trying to get involved as well. I know Alabama was pushing a little bit. But at the moment, it seems like it's kind of quieted down a bit for Trey McKinney. He's another one that's going to wait it out for a while. I don't think Rutgers has as good of a shot here as they do with Acuff, which is interesting because it's a complete flip-flop from what it used to be. Because we used to think they were better off with McKinney than Acuff. Now it's better off with Acuff than McKinney. But that's how recruiting works. It changes daily, it changes hourly at this point. And with NIL, it changes by the minute. So definitely want to keep an eye on. These kids are also going to probably cost a shit ton. Let's just be honest. So it also depends if Rutgers has the bankroll for it or not. So we'll kind of wait and see. But sounds like he's probably going to stay in the Midwest, if I had to guess. Oh, I didn't mention Indiana. But Mike Woodson's obviously a big fan of his game. If Mike Woodson's still there, they would have a good shot as well.
Yeah, and I think for these top level guys, I think we've seen firsthand how NIL can work in mysterious ways, we'll put it that way, where you have these outside influences that would basically do an NIL deal with a kid regardless of where they went to school. Yep. So I think for those top level kids, if you can sell them on playing, the money will come. It's just, you know, some schools will offer more. I know for a fact that Ace and Dylan did not take the biggest deal on the table deciding with Rutgers, but they're getting handsomely rewarded regardless wherever they ended up.
I mean, we got to throw in the fact that revenue sharing might be tomorrow or Thursday at this point, by the time they sign these deals and everything and the Congress thing. So who knows? This whole thing is it's interesting. Let's put it like that.
Yep. Let's move down the list. Another guy who visited recently in Dorian Jones. He visited officially in April. Rutgers is very high on his list. Where do things stand right now with Dorian Jones and Rutgers?
So it sounds like Rutgers or Missouri. Sounds like Missouri might have taken a lead in this one. He was at the EYBL event again as well this past weekend. He runs with All Ohio Red, I think is their team name, or just All Ohio. I think there's an All Ohio Blue as well. Whatever. Anyway, sounds like Missouri, who had the visit almost immediately after Rutgers, took the lead. They're pushing for him quite a bit. Really good player, top 50 prospect for some. I think he's 53 for us. But yeah, I'm not too confident in that one. Dennis Gates and Missouri have a NIL bankroll that's like three times the size of most programs. The big reason why they have one of the highest ranked quarterback commits, why they landed these guys in the transfer portal for football, and now they're also doing it for basketball. It doesn't sound like he's ready to make a decision anytime soon. Although, again, this is it's weird. So a lot of these kids are saying that, like, hey, we're going to wait until after AAU season to make a decision. A lot of the times that doesn't happen. It's just like any other recruitment. It's like football recruiting too. Like, oh, we're going to wait till February to sign. Yeah, sure you are. Once spots start going away, you're like, oh shit, maybe I should probably decide like now. But yeah, no, he's one to keep an eye on. I know Rutgers is battling for him, but right now it sounds like they're battling for a different wing, and that would be Jalen Harrell, as they're probably, he's more of a guy that's going to make a decision a lot quicker.
Yeah, let's dive right into him. Where does things stand with Jalen Harrell and Rutgers? That's a professional professional move there.
I'm getting good at this. You do it for, what, 4 years, 3 years now? We get good at it, but probably not even that long.
Started in September of 21, so almost three years.
Damn, almost 3 years. Yeah. Holy shit. What a pod it's been.
It's been a journey.
Anyway, Jalen Harrell, it sounded like he was a heavy Providence lean, then took a visit to – actually, he might still be on that visit. Xavier. I was talking to him 2 days ago when he was – or a day ago when he was on the visit to Xavier. Liked it a lot. Xavier, again, big NIL bank. That's playing a major factor there. Sean Miller went to see him this past weekend. Pikel went to see him this past weekend. Providence sent assistant coaches to see him this weekend, which I guess you don't always have to send the head coach, but – regardless, all three staffs are there. It's a three-way battle between the three programs. I know Rutgers is making a significant push, and I mean, if you want to steal that and throw it on Twitter and claim it as your own, go ahead, do that. But no, Rutgers is making a serious push for him. And you know who you are. Right, yeah, Rutgers, I can't focus now. Rutgers is making a serious push for him. TJ Thompson, obviously good with the New England area kids. I know they want him. They want him bad. So we'll see if they can pull off, whether it be an NIL deal or something else, because he does have an NIL agent. It's been a big factor in his recruitment for a while. It's a big reason why Troy Donovan in the past has said Xavier, if he gets to that visit, is going to be the difference maker, which makes sense. NIL, Sean Miller, good coach. And money, and at the end of the day, that's all they want. Everyone wants money. Most of these kids probably won't make the league. That's just a full-blown fact, and they want to get paid while they can. So we'll wait and see what Rutgers can pull off here, if they can pull it off. But I know they are making a push for him, so that is probably the next one that's probably going to make a decision out of every 2025 kid, and that should come within the next couple weeks.
Love to hear it. Let's go with one of Rutgers' other top targets. This is a kid who's been rising up the boards. I think he's ranked 115th now, but he just recently got four-star status. Nigel James at Long Island Lutheran.
Yep.
He's a guy that Rutgers has been recruiting for a while. Seems like one of Rutgers' top targets. What are you hearing with Nigel James?
Sounds like Nigel James is actually going to make another jump in the recruiting rankings. He was very impressive at the EYBL event in Atlanta, which was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. I know our national guys got a chance to see him. They loved him. He's still adding a ton of different offers. He's heavily considering Rutgers still. I think we put an article out a month and a half ago. He speaks to Dylan Harper. He told us twice a week. They just talk about everything, whether it be basketball, just not just basketball, but like AAU ball, all that other stuff. I believe he plays for Wrens as well, which Dylan Harper played for, which almost every notable Northeast, or I shouldn't say Northeast, every notable New York, New Jersey kid plays for the most part. Pikel, Thompson, both on him heavily. They've been in contact for a while. He is playing in New York at Long Island Lutheran, but he's technically a New England kid. He's from the New England area, so that's hence why TJ Thompson's his lead recruiter. But it sounds like they're almost at the top of the list for Nigel James. He's waiting it out to see what other offers he can pull in. I know he just added Creighton, Oklahoma State, and Georgia Tech. I think he had LSU recently. He also took officials to Providence, of course, New England kid, Syracuse, who sounds like they're on the outside looking in, and Marquette, who's also among that small little group of Rutgers, Providence, Marquette probably right now. St. John's is also there, but they're also on the outside looking in. So wait and see. He might take some more visits this summer, it sounds like, and then kind of go from there and make a decision probably late fall, early fall, around that range. So just kind of wait and see him. But this is a kid that went from non-ranked to 133 to 115. When was this? 115 in March, and it sounds like he's going to make another jump as well. And I know people are going to criticize it because of his height and everything, because he's 6 foot, maybe 175 pounds, but the kid can play, and he's playing among stars right now. And if he keeps playing like the way he is, he's just going to keep going higher and higher. So, the days of the big tall point guards at Rutgers seem to be over.
Yeah, and I didn't want to cut you off because you were on a roll there, but he actually played for Expressions Elite. He didn't play for New York Rens.
Yeah, yep. That's my fault.
So he is close with Dylan Harper, but he played AU with Bryce Storch, the Rutgers 2024 commit. Yep.
I could have sworn he said Rens. Oh, they played each other.
Yeah,
that makes more sense. Yeah, I read that wrong.
Round.
I was right. Sorry. Yeah, I was right. He did play for the Rens for a little bit before going to Expressions.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just seeing Expressions on everything. Okay.
He played with Dylan Harper at the Rens for a little bit when they were younger, then played for Expressions with Bryce George. So there.
Got it. Is there any other targets in 25 you want to hit on before we head out of here that I missed?
No, there's two new offers. Kind of trying to learn a little bit about these guys. Another New England guy. Sort of New England. Another kind of complete opposite of Nigel James. He's playing at New Hampton Prep in New Hampshire, but is a New York kid in Keshawn Tillery. Just out of the Rutgers offer today, last night actually. Has Georgia Tech, Northwestern, St. Bonaventure, Temple, Washington. Some decent offers. Coach Smoke saw him and offered him. And then the other one is Brady Kohler, who's from Indianapolis Cathedral. Which would lead me to believe they probably saw him this weekend at the EYBL event, because there's been a lot of talk about him. I know one of our national guys, JC Zembel, saw him and actually ranked him as breakout player of the weekend. He's a 6'8", 180-pound forward. A lot of people have just colleges are just starting to figure out like what his kind of ceiling is. I know Stanford, Virginia Tech offered him this weekend. Rutgers offered him this weekend. Northwestern offered him on the 5th. Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Butler just offered him recently. this is a kid that's going to blow up very, very, very quickly. So Rutgers is trying to get in the game. I shouldn't say late. They're pretty early, actually, to the game. But he's just starting to break out, and a kid that could be a high-level top 150 prospect when it's all said and done. I think 2025 is still kind of wide open. I think they want Jalen Harrell. They need someone to start the class, and that's what they're kind of thinking Jalen Harrell could do, get a top 100 prospect to start it, and then kind of go from there. So we'll wait and see. But, that's pretty much it for 2025.
Awesome. So stay tuned to your podcast feeds because we're expecting news this week. Hopefully that is good news for Rutgers, where we will end up firing the podcast machine back up. Like we've said time and time again, with our luck, it's probably going to be as soon as we hit stop on the recording here.
Yep.
But that just means that we'll be back in your feed. Yeah. We also want to thank everybody who's rated and reviewed, again, who's subscribed to the YouTube channel, who's told a friend. We really appreciate each and every one of you for helping us grow the show. We've had some pretty incredible growth this year, and we want to continue it on as the hottest season for the pod is starting to come up with training camp season, leading into the basketball season. Official visits. Yeah, next week we're planning on having a football recruiting roundup because Rutgers has three straight weekends starting the weekend of the 31st, where they're going to have some really high-level kids on campus, a handful of top 250 kids, some four-stars. This is when that recruiting class for the class 25 for football is going to start taking some serious shape. They've already got a handful of commits, but don't be surprised if by the middle of June, Rutgers is basically full on its recruiting class for 25. So stay tuned to that. Stay tuned to the boards. Anything else before we head out of here, Rich?
Not that I could see. I now have a algorithm on my feed full of Serbian basketball, and there's some crazy shit on there. They have I want to see if I can pull it up real quick. It was just a basketball game in Serbia, and there's just flames around the court. Like, it was like, look at this thing.
Oh yeah, they go hard.
I mean, the Serbian basketball is just different. Like, I hope he comes to Rutgers because I need to ask him like if he ever played in like this type of environment. Like, look at this. What is going on? That's
too loud.
Sorry.
Like, I think those are flare. Is that an outdoor game?
Yeah, I'm like, what am I looking? I would hope it's outdoor. You can't have that shit indoor, can you?
I don't know.
I almost like wish he was in this game. Like, I don't know. Serbian basketball is just different, but yeah, I kind of hope he comes.
Yeah,
it's an interesting get if they get him, but I have a feeling we're gonna start up this podcast relatively soon again.
All right. Well, for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Nerd Report Podcast.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.